Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Rolls along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Sabres game day.
We've been having some fun here in the break, though. We've been having some more fun in the break.
I discovered something on Twitter.
And I wanted to keep this going because, honestly, I wasn't done with the discussion.
Mm-hmm. You got it, right? I sent this.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So it's not necessarily a superhero sports lineup.
It's like mythical.
It's like just people. Like comic book, movie...
TV show
characters.
A lot of people from Dragon Ball Z. A lot of people from comic books.
Yep.
Anakin makes an appearance.
I was going to say, Droidica. For no reason, Anakin Skywalker.
Okay, so let's go through the offense here real quick. At wide receiver, you have Spider-Man and Anakin. Spider-Man, absolutely correct.
Yes.
He's your wide receiver one all day long. Offensive line, you got Venom, The Thing, Baymax from Big Hero 6 at
good
center.
Good movie, by the way.
Good movie. Colossus at offensive guard. And the Hulk at offensive tackle.
That feels right. I don't like the Hulk here as an offensive lineman. He gives me the unhinged nature of a tackle, don't get me wrong. I like him better though as an edge rusher.
Ooh.
He's giving off like Lawrence Taylor vibes.
Yeah, that's true.
Like that's what I would want.
But you also want him on your offensive line.
That's right. He is giving off unhinged offensive lineman vibes. I'm not screaming, but I think I'd prefer him at
on defense.
On the defense. Yeah.
Quarterback, Superman.
Whatever.
What do you call Josh Allen when he does stuff? Oh, look, he's going to be
Superman. Not even that. Like, it's the perfect thing. Like, he's the Boy Scout. He's never going to give a single wrong thing to the media, so he's boring. He's good looking. He's 6'4".
This
he's like 240 pounds.
This one I think is interesting because I didn't think about the media angle, but the Flash at fullback. A random unhinged fullback that just says the most random things.
Trash talking.
Run
the wishbone. Have Sonic and Flash.
And Sonic is the running back.
Yeah. We don't need wide receiver two. Anakin, you're out. We're running the wishbone here.
I don't see Anakin at wide receiver two.
And Superman running the ball. I'm good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Also, where does Captain America? Because Captain America is not on this. The defense, highlights of the defense, Thanos at D-tackle.
Correct. Thanos and Doomsday at defensive tackle.
Oh, that's okay. I couldn't tell who that was.
Two all-pro defensive tackles right there.
A Droidica. At defensive end.
See what I mean? Like, our defense could be so much better.
Yeah. That should be Hulk.
We're putting in a droid at edge rusher.
You also have the Silver Surfer at safety, which he's just going to...
That's fantastic.
He's going to get everything.
And then Batman at middle linebacker because Because prep time. He'll be perfect. He's going to watch a lot of film and know exactly what the opposing team's quarterback
Some of these pictures, I can't tell who it is. I had no idea that was Batman.
Yeah, Batman at middle linebacker.
Interesting. See, I was thinking of Captain America as a linebacker.
Now, see, Captain America is a lot like Superman because, I mean, they're essentially the same character. Yeah. A quarterback. I mean, just they're going to say everything you want to hear, right?
I can't.
They're a modern quarterback, too. They're a little more athletic. They can move around. They've got the bazooka arms. Captain America's whole thing is throwing the shield. Just put it to a football. He's got it.
But I don't know.
He's got a little of elusiveness as well to him.
I can't see him being an offensive player. I see him as a defensive player.
I mean, I'm putting him at safety. The old school, like, hard-hitting safety.
Mm, that's fair. Imagine him as a gunner.
Could also see that. That's more Steve Rogers, though, where it's like, I'm willing to do the dirty work.
Yeah. That's not Captain America. That's Steve Rogers.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I just popped up on my timeline.
Those Captain America movies, though, were a lot of fun. I like those ones. Yeah. Those ones are good.
Ooh. Oh, I just had a name in my head and popped away.
That's not great. Got to find it. You got to get it back.
We're going to. Hang on. Give me a sec. Iron Man.
Iron Man? He's head coach. Team owner.
Yeah.
It's honestly him or Batman slash Bruce Wayne. It's Iron Man. I did really want to just quickly transition over to football here because we got the news a little bit ago that Todd Downing is taking over as the play caller for the Jets offense. He was serving this year.
Sabres breaking news. J.J. Paterka will not play tonight.
Okay.
Per Lindy Ruff. Zach Benson is a game time decision.
Okay. All right, so no J.J. Paterka, Zach Benson, maybe. All right, so now I'm wondering if there was a little bit of a issue following practice yesterday, because both seemed pretty confident they would play, and having talked with Paul, that was sort of the feeling, too, of, like, unless there's, like, a setback following practice. So we'll see on that. Benson, though, gives me a little bit more that it's – I think both would probably play by Saturday, I would assume. Which is good on that, but we'll see. Again, Benson, game time decision, Paterka out. That's per head coach Lindy Ruff. On the Jets, though, real quick, we are also going to hear from our own Sal Capaccio coming up in just about 20 minutes. Todd Downing, though, he becomes the new play caller on the Jets offense, was passing game coordinator last year, was the offensive coordinator for Tennessee for two seasons, 21 and 22, and then this year is the QB coach, passing game coordinator, and now offensive play caller. This, to me, felt like a move that I mean, Josh, we saw reports, we both did, we've been talking about this, that ultimately this is what Robert Saleh was, I think, planning on doing per all the reports, which is Nathaniel Hackett was going to be, in a sense, demoted. I will never understand having an offensive coordinator and then not having them call plays.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm partially the same way of defensive coordinators, too. I think they should be calling plays.
But what if it's your head coach making the play call instead of... Like, this is weird because it's someone below the offensive coordinator is making the play calls. But if you had an offensive head coach making the play calls, like Andy Reid, right?
Well,
like,
but my thing is always going to be, I don't like it because you get what you had in Kansas City, which is... Does the OC actually ever do anything?
And then you have the issue of...
Is Bieniemy actually doing anything?
Right, right.
And I don't like that really for anybody. When Bobby Babich is calling plays for the Bills defense, we know that. He is going to get the credit and the ridicule regardless. Same now with Joe Brady. He's getting the credit or the ridicule regardless. When you look at... Here, Cleveland is a perfect example. Ken Dorsey is there as their OC. He is not calling plays. Kevin Stefanski is. So why is he there? It's just it's confusing to me. I want to look up the Rams though real quick. I don't think they have an offensive coordinator, and they haven't. They do. It's Mike LaFleur. Okay, so they kind of do. All right. I was wondering
is he related to Matt LaFleur?
I believe so.
Brothers, perhaps.
Yep, younger brother.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
But see, that was bad. I mean, I assumed that L.A. was one of them where Sean McVay just kind of ran anything. I guess not. Mm-hmm. I just don't love it, especially because, when you think of the Rams offense, you think of Sean McVay. When you think of the Chiefs offense, you think of Andy Reid. You don't think of these offensive coordinators that are there. I don't love that. I especially like it even less when ultimately a guy gets demoted. This feels like they're not firing Nathaniel Hackett because it'll upset Rodgers.
That's
what that feels like.
And that leads me more and more to believe that this whole thing with Saleh was partially or mostly due to Rodgers not wanting him there anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like this specific move is what got Saleh fired, but I kind of wonder about it. You got to wonder, was Saleh looking to take more drastic steps with Nathaniel Hackett than just demote him from play calling? And that would lead more into the narrative of, yeah, Aaron Rodgers got him fired.
Their whole situation is wild to me. And I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about it, I want to say yesterday, about like if they lose, is this like team in like panic mode for Monday night? And I'm talking about the Bills. If they lose on Monday night, are they in panic mode? I kind of am. Yeah. I think everything going on with the Jets is...
If you lose to a dysfunctional team like that, it's bad.
I think Jordan Schultz yesterday was on with Colin Cowherd, and he even said it too. It's like, this is not how you do in terms of firing Robert Saleh when they did and how they did. It's like, this is not how you do business in the NFL. This is just how the Jets do business. You know, him not being able to speak to the team afterwards. Ultimately, he spoke on Monday with the media like business was usual and then was fired on Sunday. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. We're going to get more of a word on that with Sal coming up in the next segment. But nothing is going right for them. They cannot score. It's why they made the move. It's why Todd Downing is calling plays now. But to me, it is one of those. It's a must win in the sense of if you don't win, I do think there are massive problems in the roster, whether that be due to injury or just who you have now. We saw yesterday, Josh, too, the unofficial injury report. Curtis Samuel goes back to not practicing because he's dealing with a foot and an ankle injury. I was wondering, just because of how few snaps he was taking in the first two games, if he was really over the turf toe. And then with how they were using him, you could really argue there was something wrong. Now he's picked up that injury, or at least has kept it this entire time. But even still, with just how bad everything is with the Jets, you'd like to think they're going to get a win here. And ultimately, Allen hasn't really had that many good games against this Jets defense. That is a big fear of mine. I've gotten to a point now where Monday night, it is sort of nerve-wracking for me, because there is still some goodwill of the first three games. There is still somewhat of this feeling of, you did all that. Guys were getting separation. You were eating against man coverage. You were doing well. What happened? Is it just Shakir being injured? You picked up a lot of injuries on defense. Is that what's going on?
But if
you lose
just
three
Shakir
straight,
yeah,
all of a sudden all that goodwill from the first three games is like, no, this is now a pattern. You're losing games you really shouldn't. You're getting blown out in a number of these games. Because even the Houston game, too, I mean, I wonder what that score looks like if Nico Collins stays in that game. I mean, Allen goes 9 for 30. They got nothing out of the passing game. They got a broken play out of Keon Coleman to score.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I would be somebody that is very much panicking in terms of playoffs, but even also the division if you lose to a Jets team that is seemingly reeling. They're only 2-3, and it's seemingly like they're hitting the panic button.
Right. Especially with firing their head coach. I mean, that's the most panicked you can be, right?
Well, I mean, Woody Johnson was pretty comfortable in saying, like, yeah, this is the first time in my, 25 years of being owner that I'm doing this, that I'm firing a coach in season.
Yeah.
That ultimately doesn't happen all that much. The ones I can remember are like Brandon Staley late in the year last year for the Chargers, O'Brien for the Houston Texans a number of years ago. It really doesn't happen all that much in season. You usually let it ride because this doesn't ultimately mean that stuff. Gruden a few years ago for the Raiders, but that was kind of circumstances not necessarily withstanding to coaching. It was more outside. And they did it and it was kind of because their offense is bad. And their defense has been very good. Their defense is keeping them in games. Now Todd Downing goes in as their play caller. They're going to be, I think, in a mood on Monday night. I think there is going to be feelings that the problem has left the building. For fans, that the problem has left the building. Now we can go forward. Outside looking in, no. I think the problem really has been that they just do whatever Rodgers says.
Mm-hmm.
But we said even yesterday with Sal, too, I think we're all kind of getting maybe a wrong read on the Jets because yesterday when Woody Johnson is speaking with the media, he's saying, I think this is the best roster in my 25 years of being an owner. So, like, the thought of, like, Joe Douglas maybe being fired at the end of this year kind of feels like it's not going to happen.
Right, because it seems like he has all the faith in everything else around.
Except the head coach.
Yeah, right. But the question is, Sala wasn't perfect, but who are they? What are they looking for in a head coach? Because he was part of the reason, I guess we'll find out now, but he was probably part of the reason why their defense was so good. And I get it, their offense has been terrible, and they haven't really done what they needed to do on offense, obviously, but are they looking offensive? Are they looking defensive? Like, I don't think the firing fixes any problems. That's the other part where it's like extra panic of, yeah, you fired your head coach. That's crazy. But what does it fix? What does it solve?
Yeah, I don't
Unless there's so much inner turmoil between, Rodgers and Saleh that there's problems on and off the field, I don't know. That'd be pretty hard to believe. Well, actually, no. Rodgers is pretty crazy. Maybe it wouldn't be so hard to believe.
I guess that's the thing, too, is it's like we're going to find out within like the next, like I would say, month or so, like if there were really that big of issues going on in the building, like they had to get rid of Saleh. I just don't know. But, I mean, to be fair, there was already reports this offseason of turmoil in the locker room. There was feelings that Hackett, you know, wanted to fire him, but or that Saleh wanted to fire Hackett but couldn't and stuff like that. So, yeah, there is sort of this feeling that there was turmoil there. But firing Saleh and keeping Hackett there, I don't know how much Todd Downing is going to change the offense. Those were the issues. That's where their problems were, not on the defense. The defense has been, for the most part, really good and is keeping them in games.
It's part of the reason why the Bills have lost to the Jets a few times over the past few years. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm quite a bit nervous about Monday night is – everything you've seen with the offense the past 2 weeks, and now you're seeing this defense come in that's always giving you problems. But again, I'm honestly really interested to see how much of a role that Saleh played. Because if it was a larger role, this could be a very, not very different offense, but we could see something different this time.
Potentially, yeah.
And that's another point where it's, you know, a bit of a head scratcher of why fire him now. Unless there's something seriously wrong. And I don't know if we'll ever find that out. I would love if Saleh did a tell-all, but that I don't think that would happen.
That's what I was saying, man.
Don't know if he's allowed to do that.
But, you know, Sal put out this tweet yesterday from practice. And I do want to say this too for him, too. He did tweet out, important to note with today's injury report that today is not a normal Wednesday. This is obviously being yesterday with the game on Monday night. There's an extra day this week. Could factor into participation decisions, but ultimately, the no practices, Khalil Shakir, Ed Oliver, James Cook, Curtis Samuel, an offense that is struggling. James Cook seemingly the only piece that has been consistently solid the whole way through because of Shakir's injuries. And now if he's not, I don't know. Just for me, there is this sense of like the season is slipping away from him. I don't want the Bills to make a panic move, but if they do drop three straight games, that is where panic moves come in. And I think that's where you make bad decisions is when you're panicking, when you're reeling, everything, you know, nothing is seemingly going right. I think especially for the Bills, too, there will be this feeling of what the hell happened? We were 3-0, we were cooking, everything was fine, and now all of a sudden we've lost three in a row. I think maybe my biggest fear is the feeling that all of a sudden a panic move would become involved. That's where you all see them really get involved in the Devontae Adams trade piece. And I was getting into it with some people on Twitter yesterday of like the idea of trading them a second round pick to get a half a year out of Adams, a guy who's already dealing with a hamstring injury. If you believe it or not, that's what they're saying.
Well, yeah, they can't really lie about that.
Yeah.
And if they do, then that's another problem.
And so he's got a hamstring injury. I'm getting half a year out of him. I'm not going to pay him again. Some worries there. And yes, the schedule kind of opens up. You get Tennessee. But with, you know, we were just talking about it. You know, the Sabres have 82 games. One or two games doesn't really define a season. In football, it kind of can. You know, being 4-2 compared to 3-3 is far different. Being 5-2 if you play the Tennessee Titans compared to 4-3 also is very different. Mm-hmm. And especially in a year, man, the AFC is not good.
No,
it's the whole AFC. It's not great.
It's not just the AFC East. It's the majority of the AFC. You have the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Texans. Kind of the Bills, if you still feel like it,
yep.
And that's it. There's four teams there.
And all of them have like pretty glaring issues or injury issues.
Or maybe not glaring yet. I mean, the Chiefs...
They
do have injury problems, but they're still winning games.
And
that's the thing. Like the Chiefs one, it might not be as glaring, mm-hmm. but I still think there's issues there. They're just underneath the fact that they're 5-0.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at how this Bills team is going into this game, and I think there is some reason to be worried.
Yeah.
Especially with the last 2 weeks. I don't know.
That'd be the one thing. If they lost to Houston, but it was like a really good game, and it was back and forth, good offensive game, and ultimately just, you know, the defensive injuries got you.
Yeah.
Or they had the ball last, what have you. It'd be one thing. It is, again, like the 9-for-30. Allen himself not playing well. No separation for wide receivers. That was the thing yesterday we were talking a lot about. I was under the impression, looking at that, you know, separation win chart, mm-hmm. that Coleman was doing much better and that, you know, maybe we weren't seeing stuff or what have you. Turns out that's that stat is based off of passes he's thrown and how much separation he's got. And he was doing well on that.
Passes he's targeted to.
And so Worthy's not doing well on that. And I'm like, oh man, so is that Mahomes just missing him with Coleman? It's like, okay, yeah, when you know he's thrown the ball, okay, or you know, he is open. It makes sense. And then Sal came on yesterday and was like, no, he's one of the worst, if not the worst, on the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, they've lost Khalil Shakir. Samuel they're not using, whether it be to injury or they have no plan.
And to be fair, with Samuel, if it's not an injury issue, they could very easily just start targeting him more. It's his problem is not, unless it is an injury thing, his problem is very fixable like that. All you got to do is just start targeting him.
Seem to have way more of a plan.
Have more of a game plan for him. Have him go down the field a little bit more than 2 yards and don't run screen plays with him anymore. Try something different. Put him in the slot role. Put him out wide. Do something. But the problem is with what we're seeing with Samuel is we're not seeing anything. Whether it be injury or not, we're just not seeing anything. And if it's injury, then you can't do much about it. But if it's game planning, then just change up the game plan. Right?
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah. I think you're right. You got to change the game plan. You got to change it up. But up to this point, yeah, Samuel's been a non-factor in their offense, and they're paying him $8 million a year.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't have to sit here and try to figure out, oh, like, you know, what's going on? Why is it not working? Because what's working is not working. Just okay, cool. Try something different. Your season is kind of on the line.
Yep. And I don't want to act like, because I'm not. To this point, it is a year in transition. I think they are trying to find out that young core that is going to go forward with.
They want
this
to identify what they have,
and I'm cool with that, and I'm all for it.
Yeah,
I also don't want to see a wasted season. I don't want to see a Drew Brees Saints type season in the middle of his career where, yep, you missed the playoffs. You should never miss the playoffs with Josh Allen at quarterback. He is the second to third best quarterback in the NFL on any given day. And in part, why I would panic is that you need to see signs that the year in transition, hey, there's some positives. It's not all great. You know, there's some growing pains. Cole Bishop on Sunday, not great. But you need to see signs of that's like, hey, but that player's going to be good. That player's going
to
be good.
That's your welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah.
Like, hey, good luck, pal. You're a rookie. Get used to it.
But like, for me, if they've paid $8 million to Curtis Samuel and don't have a plan, they draft Dalton Kincaid in the first round and still don't have a plan to get him the ball. That's where it's like, this is a year in transition with far more issues down the line that we're getting ready to see, but it won't become apparent until next year or what have you, when all of a sudden, yeah, Kincaid's a first round tight end that we're still waiting to emerge.
Right. Well, and this is the perfect year too. Like with Samuel being on a multi-year contract and with Kincaid obviously being who he is in his sophomore season, this is the perfect year to just kind of figure out who they are and how they play and how you can utilize them to the best of their ability and just kind of stash it. If you can't get things to string together and make things work, obviously, like, make the playoffs. But if it's not going to be a year where you're going to go to the Super Bowl or whatever, just figure out how those two work and then make note of that and go into your offense next year with already a plan. Because this year just felt like there's not much of a plan so far.
And that's concerning.
Or the plan is not working.
And that is, I think either one of those is very concerning.
Yeah.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll get more of an idea with the Bills so they get ready for their Monday night matchup as Sal Capaccio joins the show next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.